Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. And we are here at Tuesday. This is December the 11th, and the year is 2001. We're live tonight on Truth Radio. And call a friend up and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on. We're going to get into a real intriguing portion of the Consolation series that we're doing here. This is the 10th in the series, and we're going tonight on Gemini, the twins, in the Consolation of the Heavens. And there's just a lot of information about Gemini that has been hidden from the general public that tells a very, very important message of brotherhood in the church and between church and the Creator, praise Yahweh. So that's what we're going to get in tonight. Just call a friend and tell them that we're on the air. Let me give you my telephone number up front, because usually when I get carried away, I seem to forget to do that, praise Yahweh. So we'll give you our telephone number up front tonight in case that we get carried away in the end portion of the message down at the bottom. So praise Yahweh. Our area code is 423-626, and the number is 2172. And if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call here tonight, simply address your mail to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, that's 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip is 37824. And, of course, our sponsors is Miracle 2 tonight, praise Yahweh. And we'd like to get their telephone numbers in as well if you'd like to order the products to keep Pastor Buddy on the air. This helps, praise Yahweh. Tell them Pastor Buddy sent you, and that will give the Shepherd's Call a plug, praise Yahweh. And our sponsors will know that the call came as a direct result of what you heard on the Shepherd's Call here, praise Yahweh. The number that you need to call, if you're west of the Mississippi, you can call Dr. Gary at 877-289-7439. And if you're east of the Mississippi, why don't you give Dr. Jack a call? That's 888-281-7320. That's Miracle 2. That's the products that is the flagship here tonight, praise Yahweh. We're going to sail on the ship tonight as we go into our common text of the Scriptures, and we're going over to the book of Acts. We're going to the 28th chapter, and we're going to begin at the 11th verse. Now, this is Paul as he is traveling through the isles. He's on a ship, and he is headed for Rome, of course, unto his pending doom. I guess the death of Paul credited to be in Rome by the hands of the Caesar, who he was to appear before. Nothing is written after the fact that Paul did arrive in Rome. But here, in verse 11 through verse 15, before his arrival in Rome, Paul is there 3 months, and then they departed in a ship of Alexandria, flagship of out of Alexandria, Egypt, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Now, we know that Castor and Pollux is in the constellation of Gemini. Right here it is mentioned in the Bible, and these ships were named in honor of the twins of Gemini. So I thought you just might like to know that Paul himself at one time sailed on to a great adventure. Actually, he was going to his death, and this is the last ship he rode before he arrived in Rome, and there, as I said, they killed him for the gospel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the time is coming back in the last days that we will suffer a great persecution. In the last days, the Bible says that after people runs to and fro, they will seek rest and find none. And the Bible also says that in the end time, nation will rise against nation. Of course, that is all happening here as we speak. There's a lot of trouble in the world, but there is still time, and we emphasize the positive things here. We're not going to dwell on the negative, the new world order, and things of this nature tonight, which we could and tell you that we are in perilous times. I assume probably, if you know anything about the times, well, you know that to be a truth, praise Yahweh. So let us give you a solution rather than a problem. There's enough problem producers on talk radio and on television and things of that nature. Let us give you a solution to the problem, and that is look up. Now, the Scriptures tells us in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, that there will be signs in the heaven. Now, everybody's thinking that, you know, that God, quote unquote, will take his finger at some point in history and he'll write across the sky. He'll write a terrible message to humanity. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to correct your thinking there to tell you that he wrote a message in the stars, in the sky, in the heavens, before the foundation of the world, praise Yahweh, and it's all recorded in the heavens in the constellations. And for that cause, praise Yahweh, the wonderful joy, unspeakable and full of glory that comes to everyone that has a part in the eternal existence of Yahweh. Remember, your name being on the Lamb's book from the very foundation. And I'm out of this school of thought that everybody that is his has a particular star shining for them in the heavens, in the constellations. And there, the Father says, he numbered all of the stars, and he called them all by name. Now, if he knows all of that, and he knows your name, which was written on the Lamb's book from the foundation, then you have a portion or a star there to remind him of your being here upon the earth as a volunteer. Now, what do I mean by that? That I mean that you came here on a conditional contract, and you were sent here for a job to do. And that job is to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and to find your way back. And the devil predicted that you'd never make it. And it would have been true had it not been for the Great One, the Mighty One, the one that we spoke of in the constellation of Taurus last night as the Great Orion, as I had indicated, that he had the sword in his hand and he had the head of a lion. He had this lion head severed, hanging in his left hand with his club raised up and his sword in his belt. Praise Yahweh. So what a wonderful, wonderful message that the Father has taken the liberties to do for you, wrote you a love letter in the sky, and expected you to know exactly what he's talking about. Now, in the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, here Paul rides on the ship known as Castor and Pollux, and it's the 11th verse, as he rode this ship to his death. Now, if you spend a lot of time looking, you will make out these two figures as the two stars shining so brilliantly lies a distance east of the Taurus that we gave you last night and are the heads of the twins. Two lines of light stars downward make the bodies, and there are clusters of stars showing the feet lying in the region of the Milky Way. Now, this is a great area of the constellation, and it is very bright. Praise Yahweh, and it really displays in the constellation of Gemini. Through the ages, these two brilliant stars have been the world's example of brotherhood and love and friendship. Even as the ideal of the twins has been universal from the most ancient days, many other meanings have been given to these two luminary bodies in the heavens. Some held that they were the great healers of man. Others believed that they were the bringers of warmth and food. But whatever the belief, it was always associated with the ideal of the universal two twins. This ideal of the two twins is found in endless examples throughout the world. The double expression is repeated continuously in the events and conditions of the universe. There are, for example, day and night, summer and winter, hot and cold, and so on without end. Castor and Pollux are the classic example of this worldwide order. Now, we would like to give you a spiritual take on this and the reason why that Gemini and the two twins are there is because it displays the collective process of closeness between Christ and his body or his church, or if you will, the Father and his sons and daughters. And that's why we have this loving concept of Gemini as it is portrayed in the heavens through Castor and Pollux and the wonderful event of the herald of the prophecy coming forth to give you an understanding that you may know that there is someone in the heavens that cares for you. Now, Castor and Pollux were the twin brothers, but if you go back into the mythology of this, it says that Castor was a mortal being and could die. Well, isn't that Christ? The other was immortal. Pollux was the immortal. Castor was the mortal. And isn't Christ, did he not die for the church? And these brothers were always together and wore the same clothes, beautiful white armor, and they both rode magnificent white horses, and both were renowned as great warriors. At the same time, they lived another pair of twins named Idas and Licinius, who were also famous for their strength and daring. And this so much was the rivalry between these two pairs of twins that sometimes there was even open warfare. Now, what does that mean? It means that there was a warfare going on in the womb of the woman. I'll give you an example. When Rachel was pregnant, or let's go back to Isaac and Rebecca, when Rebecca was pregnant with Jacob and Esau, the Bible said that there was a struggle in the womb. Now, the womb we'll use it as an illustration of a consolation. And so there is graphic illustrations throughout the consolations of this great and terrible warfare between day and night, darkness and light, and so on and so forth. And that is exactly what the consolation of Gemini holds for us in reality. Praise Yahweh. Now, let me give you a little of Raymond Kemp's take on chapter 10 of the Consolation of Gemini. It consists of 85 stars. Now, 8 and 5 is, of course, 13. And there happens to be 13 tribes in the Church of Yahweh. Now, isn't that strange that there would be 13 in this particular number? Gemini pictures two very youthful-looking figures walking or coming, and some atlases show them seated. One holds a great club in his right hand, while the other figure holds a harp in one hand and a bow and an arrow in the other. Both the club and the bow and arrow are in repose, the same as the figures which hold them. The Latins call these figures a Castor and a Pollux, although the Greeks claim to have invented them and called them Apollo and Hercules, the sons of Jupiter. The Coptics call them Paimaya, the united, or as in brotherhood, or completely joined. The Hebrew name for this sign is Thelmanion, which means united beings. In the zodiac of Denderi in Alexandria, Egypt, the figure is that of a man walking hand in hand with a woman. Now we're getting it, praise Yahweh. The man has an appendage, Hor or Horus, which signifies the coming one. Having identified the masculine figure, there can be no difficulty in identifying the accompaniment of the female figure as the bride, as we illustrate to you in reality, Jacob Israel. Praise Yahweh. Yet in a further great marriage union at the close of this present world order, when Christ will bless those that will fall upon a restored Israel. In other words, there is a set time, and I covered that last night in detail, in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, the 25th and the 26th verses, that says, "There shall come out of Zion," now that is spiritually meaning, out of the heavens, "there shall come a Redeemer that will turn Jacob from his ungodliness to light and restoration." These blessings will then fall in the type of Gemini, praise Yahweh, where they will be complete restoration union between the man, Christ, and the woman, the Church of Israel. In his love and mercy, these blessings are offered to all who acknowledge and confess him and obey him and have him as their Savior and universal King. Now, the name of the principal star in the head of the figure that holds the club is called Pollux, as we have said, which means ruler or judge in the Greek. Another star in his left foot is called Alhemni, which means hurt, wounded, or afflicted, as the church is today. In the center of his body is another bright star called Wasat, which means seat, or the place of the seated one, or to put in place. As it is said in the scriptures, I am set on the throne of Israel. There are set thrones of judgment. The judgment was set. I am set in my ward. And the scriptures proclaim, Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, Yahweh, our righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6. Again, in Jeremiah 33, 14 and 15, Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You see, there is two houses. And how could people purposely, ignorantly, stupidly leave out the house of Israel when they say that the Jews or Judah is God's chosen people? It was Israel, his beloved, his chosen one, who became the birthright heirs to the throne. And in this sense, they have been left out of the equation, completely forgotten, and thus we call them the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Gemini is the band of the constellation that portrays the unification of Judah and Israel that will come about in the last days. And at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are teaching tonight that the house of David was from the house of Ephraim, Joseph, the birthright blessing tribes. Now, for reference to that scripture, you need to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 12. In that scripture, it is stated that Jesse was an Ephratite. Now that is wonderful news if you believe in Israel having the birthright privilege promise. Everybody that is in Jacob Israel that is admitted to be out of the lost house of Israel, you should rejoice at that scripture. Now there's many more. Write for my tape on the house of Joseph, the royal birthright tribe. Praise Yahweh, and you'll see that it is not Judah that is the royal birthright tribe or the lion tribe. Remember, in the constellation of Taurus, it is Orion that is there majestically holding the sword with the head of the lion in his left hand triumphantly. And I gave you the scriptural reference last night in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, where it says in the Greek, it is the lamb that overcome the line to open the seals. Now, all you've got to do is look into the heavens and see this great expanse and the message of the stars written by your Father, placed them perfectly that they may form a picture which is worth a thousand words. Now, here we're almost down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get into the minor constellations in the second half of the show, but we're going to give you an example here of the twins. The scriptures is very emphatic that David will grow up unto a branch, or as a branch of righteousness, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Jeremiah 33, 14 and 15. This is what we see pictured in the constellation of Gemini. Messiah's peaceful reign. All is rest and repose after a great victory gained. We see his days in which the righteousness shall flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth, as it is written in Psalms 72, verse 7. The accompanying minor signs of Gemini tell us that before this eternal kingdom come, the earth must be delivered from misrule and opposition, and all enemies must be subdued. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you think that we're on the timeline? Do you see the enemy gathering? Do you see him coming in as a flood? Do you see the power of the enemy now taking hold and unifying his power and his ownership of the earth. Remember, the Bible says that Satan will come to earth knowing that he has but a short time. I am going to prophesy and go way out on the limb tonight to tell you that I am out of the temple belief that Satan and his angels are real. Irregardless of whether you believe in angels or demons, or whether you believe that they're just a figment or a little piece of vapor floating in the sky, or someone sitting on a soft white cloud playing a harp, you'll have to get real, because this is a real experience. Satan is literally going to incarnate into the earth in a flesh body. Now, you say, Pastor Buddy, you're beside yourself here, and much learning hath made thee mad. Well, let me give you an example. As Paul, on his flight to his death and his doom, he went there gladly. Now, the Bible says in the last days that there will be a great persecution. I gave you the scripture in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, the 25th verse, where that Satan, in the last days, when he sets up his kingdom on earth, will wear out the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, the war's coming, and in the age of Gemini, we are going to reign with the king as the eternal bride and the husband come. Well, Pastor Buddy, we're down at the bottom there. We're going to come back and really kick it in gear. You come back with us in the second half, and we'll get on into the minor consolation of Gemini. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Yahweh bless. Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you back aboard with us. We're in the second half of our message on the consolation of Gemini. We're doing a whole series. This is 10th in the series. We've got two more to go. Here, as we complete the series of consolations, we offer it to you in audio or a video. Praise Yahweh. So if you're interested, just contact Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172, and we'd be glad to get those out to you. Praise Yahweh. We're going into the minor consolations, and as we see the unity of Gemini, you know, the Bible says where you would do good, evil's always present. We're going to show you what this portrays as Satan attacks the final time. We're calling it the Age of Armageddon. We're getting close, ladies and gentlemen. This new world order, this confinement, this totalitarian rule that is coming upon the earth, and the Bible says that it will. And so we shouldn't get too concerned about that, because it is already recorded and written, as I recorded the scripture for you and quoted it for you in Daniel 7:25, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, if you are a saint, then look for persecutions in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, particularly verses 4 and 5. It is denoted that we are to preach only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, in the 22nd verse of the same chapter, chapter 10, it tells us that you shall, and it's a positive statement, be hated of all men for the name of Yahweh. Now, isn't that very strange that if you are a Jesus person or a Jehovah person, that nobody hates you? That if you're in Jesus' name, you can be accepted in the Catholic Church. You can be accepted in the Mormon Church. You can be accepted in the Baptist Church, the Pentecostals, the Lutheran, and I could go on and on till I could name at least 500 different churches that call themselves the Protestants, and they will all have you or accept you in the name of Jesus. And all of them will welcome you and make you feel welcome if you will follow or practice their individual church rules from faith to faith or from church to church, as it is stated. But when you get in the name of Yahweh, when you take that precious name on, you are now, and I repeat, listen to this very closely, as we're going to explain to you that there's always an enemy. Nothing, ladies and gentlemen, there is labor pains here. Before the church is brought forth in the final end time, there must be severe labor pain, then the joy, then the rest, and then the worship of the King, where we'll all have peace and security. But until then, perilous times, Satan wearing out the saints, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, that brings into question, listen to me, here's a very important point that I'm going to give you. I'm going to ask you tonight to accept the name that's rejected. I'm going to ask you to reject the name that was accepted. Now, let me repeat that. I'm going to ask you to accept the name that was rejected and reject the name that was accepted. Now, let's look in the scripture for a moment. Acts 4:11 and 12. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby that you can be saved. Now, isn't it true that in the 10th verse, 11th and 12th, that it also states that this is the name that the builders rejected? Now, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus got in the New Testament. Why did Jesus get in there when it's not even in the original King James 1702 version? There was not a J-E-S-U-S in the Bible. What was it in Spanish? It is still quoted and spoken in the phonic of Jesus. Now, does that give you any information that you may possibly have accepted a name that was placed in there and the true name of the Creator was taken out? I'll give you an example. 5,823 times alone in the Old Testament, the name of Yahweh was taken out of the Holy Scriptures and the Greek text and later into English text. Kuros, Theos, was replaced. That replaced Yahweh, Elohim. Now, if you go back and get you an original Hebrew Bible, the name of Yahweh is there. You say, well, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you call him, it doesn't matter. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that would work for a while, but let me give you an example here. If you believe that, why don't you come and sign your bank account over to me in your real name, and I'll call you stupid. Because that would be exactly what you would do. You can't get money out of the bank being stupid. But you can get money in the bank if you've got it in your name. And so the name is very important on important documents. Well, the most important document in creation is your right or your birthright signed by the responsibility of the one that died for you. Now, let's look at the name of Jesus just a little bit deeper here as we're going into the minor consolation of Lepus the hare. Now, this is the enemy that comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. So right at the feet of Castor Pollux, or the great twins, as they stand there in their majestic statue, we have the enemy that looks like a leopard creeping up on the twins to attack. Now, the Bible says, when they say, peace, peace, then cometh sudden destruction. Now, I gave you the illustration of how that the translators, now we're talking about translators, and we're going to give you another word here that may not be or could be familiar in your vocabulary, and that is translators, number one, and then we have transliteration. Now, translators is the words translated into different languages. Transliteration is names that are supposed to be translated from one language to the other by the sound contents of the name never changing. Now, that didn't happen with Yahweh. Yahweh got transliterated out, and Jesus got translated into the scripture. You see the switch? You see the deception? And I know this makes a lot of people mad, and I lose a lot of friends over this, praise Yahweh. But see, I didn't get on here to preach for your friendship. I don't want to be your friend. I want to be your enemy. I want to really, actually be your worst nightmare, praise Yahweh, until you repent and get baptized in the name of Yahweh. So I've got to provoke you. I've got to stir you up. And you've got to decide whether you want to be man enough or woman enough to walk in to the truth. Now, there's a price. I have said that you can join any church in town, and they'll accept in Jesus' name. Well, you get in the name of Yahweh, or why don't you just make you a little visit around town and ask your local pastors, priests or prophets, or you might even consult a rabbi. I wouldn't want you to do that, but if you did, it'd be very funny. But ask them to baptize you in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, that his name 5,823 times in the Old Testament was translated out of the Bible in its transliteration and in place of the four sacred letters when in L-O-R-D. Now, when you will look up the word Lord, it don't take you to Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen. It takes you to Baal, B-A-A-L. You reckon that some of these that got a hold of the translation of the scriptures purposefully, and we're knowing that somebody has deceived the very elect here, as this hair or this very, 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 very evil creature is trying to creep up on your salvation. You see, the Bible said Satan come to kill you, steal you, or destroy you, and he's about his business daily to drag you down into the pit where it is destined for him to go and all those that he has deceived. So I inform you tonight by the revelation of Yahweh, do a word search. Order my tape on the rejected name. Now, I'm asking you to take the name of Yahweh left out of the English text and most of the text, everything except the Hebrew, and you say, well, I don't read Hebrew. Well, you can get you a Kohlenberger text, an interlingual, that will actually translate the Hebrew over to English. And you can see where they took out his name, and they done it purposely. The sacred tetragrammaton, that YHVH, has been taken out and removed, and in its place went Lord. Now, the Bible says there's many lords. So when you say Lord, and you read with Lord, and that in your mind, which Lord are you talking about? You say, well, I don't know, but he knows. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Satan, or Baal, was called Lord. Oh, yes, Satan was called God. He's the God of this earth. But he's a false God, and so is Lord. There's many lords, so which one are we talking about? You see, to express, you've got to have an identification, and you have to have a name. Now, again, the Bible says this is the name that was rejected by the builders. So they left out the real name and put in a substitute name, and I have warned you to listen to me, that the name Jesus is not even 500 years old back into the past. Now, it is crept in, it is sort of evolved into what it is today. Now, let's take it and slow it down. Jesus, that's what you're saying, and the Greek, Spanish take on it from the Latin was Jesus. And that they got that by this interpretation of when the Roman soldiers and the clergy that followed, they were subduing all of the owls and the peoples into this mass movement of Catholicism. They were conquering under the banner of Jesus. And so when the people asked what name they should use, the priest very cunningly said, just call him Jesus, or just say Jesus, and he will answer you. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got the prophets of Baal, these Jesus preachers, and people beating and thumping their chest, like the prophets of Baal in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, where they were calling on Baal night and day. Now, the Bible says in the day that he judges you, many will stand before him in that day and say, well, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And then he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, the brightest star in the body of Lupus, which has 19 stars there, by the way, in this constellation, it lays between Sirius, the brightest star in the constellation, and in between Sirius and in Orion. So it lays right in this area, and is Lupus the hare. It is the image, actually, of a giant creature that is trying to slip up on the twins of Gemini. Now, in the Arabic, it is Nebel, the mad one, or Rakas, the bound, or Sugura, the deceiver. And so there you see the enemy coming in, and from these indications, there can be no mistaking that the hare as the enemy, whom the true Orion shall destroy at his written. Now, let me give you the scriptures in Psalms 16, verse 12. And he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, In the day that I do this, saith Yahweh of hosts, Malachi 4:3, and for he that it is he to whom that shall tread down our enemies. So the hare will go under the feet of Orion, the great figure in the constellation of Gemini, as Isaiah also prophesies of that day, I will tread down mine enemy in my anger and trample them in my fury. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Isaiah 63:3-4. Ladies and gentlemen, when we get into this last episode, and ladies and gentlemen, I've told you we're entering into the age of Aquarius. And once Aquarius, the outpouring, once the fish revive, once somebody's going to come out of Zion and revive Jacob Israel and give them the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, what more truth could you want than it is the seed of Joseph out of the house of David? David was not a Jew. Christ himself was not a Jew. And we can prove it in any debate in the land, and we welcome and we relish the ideal of someone wanting to debate that issue. Why? Because it helps to get the truth out hidden for over 2,000 years. When Christ come, he had the problem of overcoming the lion. The lion is representative of the tribe of Judah, who took the scepter and stole the birthright away from the rightful ownership of Joseph of Galilee. Now, Christ was called a Galilean on purpose. He was a Galilean because he was born in Bethlehem, not Judea, as some would believe, but in Bethlehem Ephratah, from which David, an Ephratite himself and his family, came from. So therefore, Christ came through the very bloodline through Mary, who herself was from the tribe of Ephraim, Joseph, and therefore the bond of kinship that Christ would set on the throne of David in the person of the resurrected Messiah, and all the prophecies fit in place. You see, there's no scripture to indicate he was a Jew. Matter of fact, contrary to all of the popular belief of the Gentiles, which are nothing more than dumbed-down sheep by the sly and cunningness of these creatures that creep upon you, as doth the hare in the constellation of, We're talking about Gemini and the minor constellation. We're talking about Lepus, the hare, and now we're going to Canis Major, the dog. Now, 64 stars in the constellation of Canis Major. We gotta hurry. Modern zodiacs carry the picture of a great dog, which has its origin in Greek mythology. The Egyptian pictured it as a hawk or an eagle, and called it Apis, which means the head. The hawk is the natural enemy of the serpent, and here it is on its head, a pestle and mortar, indicating the fact that he shall crush the head of the enemy. The Persian zodiac pictured it as a wolf and called it Zeb, meaning leader. In Hebrew, it is the same meaning, while in Arabic, it means coming quickly. So the dog star in Canis Major and the names of these stars of this constellation have no meaning whatever as applied to an Egyptian hawk or with a Greek dog, but they are full of meaning when applied to him of whom Isaiah speaks. Behold, I will give him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people, as it is stated in Isaiah 55:4. The brightest star in the head and the brightest in the whole heavens is called Sirius. That is why it is called the dog star. Or Seer, meaning prince, guardian, the victorious. Through this dog star, as it came to be known, it was associated with burning heat, pestilence, and disaster to the earth. It was not so much in more in ancient times. In the ancient Adatican, it was called Casista, which means the leader. The second star on the left forefoot is named Marzram and means the prince or ruler. And a star in the body is called Wissen, meaning the bright and the shining. Another star in the right-hand leg is called Ahara, meaning the glorious one. Other stars have similar meanings. But a significant prophetic note can be found in the star Sirius, which is derived from Seir, meaning in connection with the name of the figure of the Egyptian zodiac. That is often given, we have Nazar or Nazar, Nazar meaning the great seat or the sent prince. According to the scriptures, the rod promised to come forth from the stem or stump of Jesse is called a Netzar. In the Hebrew Bible, there it is translated as the branch. Who should smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and slay the wicked with the breath of his lips? The Messiah himself spent his earlier years at the obscure little village in a city called Nazareth. Thus, all the star names harmoniously weave a constant and magnificent picture of the sent prince or the branch, the Netzar or of Isaiah, the Netzari of the prophetic consolations, and the Nazarene spoken of by the prophets in Matthew 2:23. Now, Canis Major, the consolation, as in the case of the preceding sign, reveals nothing more by its picture or its name to the obtain its original meaning. We must search the ancient zodiacs and the names of the stars which have come down to us. In the Dendera zodiac, the sign is represented as a human figure with a hawk's head and the appendage of a tail. The figure is called Sebak, which means conquering, victorious. Arabic astrology designated the figure as the prince of the right hand. The brightest star in the body is named Prokelon, which means redeemer. The next star in the neck is called Al-Gamuzia, Arabic meaning the burdened or the loaded down or the enduring for the sake of others. Now, here there is no conflicting voice, no discord in the harmonious testimony of him whose name is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, as it is written in Isaiah 9:6, despite the perversion of the picture of the so-called false astrologers, the coming one of Canis Major, indicative to his triumphant return, portraying his return as our Redeemer. Now, we're going to close out real quickly with this thought. Yahweh is coming soon, and the consolations tell us emphatically that he's coming. Be ye also ready, for you know not what hour. Now, my advice to you, that if you're in Jesus' name, or you take the name of Jehovah, which exactly is an erroneous rendering of Yahweh, I showed you how that they added the vowel points to the consonants, and they come up erroneously with Yehovah, now better known as Jehovah. And so those Jehovah Witnesses stay dogmatically with a false name. They admit it's false, but they stay with it because it's got so popular, and they built so many kingdom halls. Well, ladies and gentlemen, walk out of these churches. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the great stained glass windows and the great mortar and brick apparatuses, and get into the gift of nature. Build you an altar, and we'll give you the information on how to do that, and worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth, for he seeketh such to worship him. Pastor Bud and Shepherd's Call, call me tonight. Area code 423-626. Tonight you can reach me here at 0440. Pastor Buddy, we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. We've had a great time. I've enjoyed being with you. Yahweh bless you, the sheep of Israel, wherever you may be and congregate together. I send you my love and my greetings in the great name of Gemini and the consolation where peace reigns supreme. Yahweh bless you till tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio station. Praise Yahweh.